Three friends.
Three cities.
One question.
How can we turn this world around?
You're on with Earth Friends.
All right, welcome to episode 3 of season 2 with Earth Friends. We're super excited to have on Isa Barte. She's a 25-year-old Filipino artist, storyteller, and co-founder of For the Future, a Filipino-focused nonprofit and youth-led organization. For the Future, also known as FTF, provides individuals with easily accessible avenues for the youth at work to help empower communities. FTF's programs focus on restoration, typhoon relief, food security, and providing solar lights to off-grid communities. And I'm sure many of you have seen an Instagram post or two over the last few years. Through her art, Isa captures our world today and brings people together by sharing empowering individuals' stories and emotions. She's also been selected by National Geographic Society to be a part of the 25 Audacious Changemakers for the 2021 Young Explorer. So welcome on, Isa. Yay!
Let's go.
Hi, everyone.
Isa, I'm so glad to finally have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so usually we start by asking you how your week went. How's it been going?
I live in La Union, so there was like a big COVID surge here. But like the past week, people have been recovering and everything. So we're back outdoors.
So. Oh, nice. Hopefully this is the end of it for a while. I mean, well, that it stabilizes soon, rather.
Yeah. So, Is, I'm finally excited to ask you about your art and just, you know, move towards the chiller side and discover your secrets. Your journey as a storyteller started with sharing digital art through your Instagram page. And it was so amazing to see it blow up. Like, yeah, that's my goal. How did this then evolve into founding FTF?
It was actually through the art series on Instagram that I got familiar with the power of social media and sharing stories. Like, I'd get random messages telling me that the art series helped them in one way or the other, or like actually like saved their lives somehow. So it was really there that I realized, you know, like we can actually connect through a screen and not in a shallow way. Like there is power in social media to do that. And so when we wanted to start FTF, it was just supposed to be like, we throw a party, raise 1 million pesos for the reforestation efforts in Yangil, and then it's done. And we blast this party on social media. But when we did that, we realized like, wow, there are actually people who are into the environment and into nature and really want to help. They just don't know how to yet.
Yeah.
And so that's how FTF began, on the foundation of being real, raw, and relatable. Like our tagline is, you don't need to be anyone else to be a person that can change the world. And yeah, we learned that through art and storytelling.
The turn up in Verde was real though.
Yeah, it was.
From just planting trees into a full-blown NGO. Like, yeah.
We were just supposed to be a party.
Where is that? Which one? Where is it?
Publishon.
It's the green bar, so we thought like, oh, perfect, like forest and leaves.
Oh, that's so nice. What year did you guys throw this party?
2019, I think. 19, yeah. And then we blew up and then COVID happened. So we had to kind of like calm down because we couldn't throw parties anymore. Our main dissemination of information was really on social media. So we really had to work with that.
I'm just curious because you were talking about like the power of social media with your art and everything. And I'm sure, I can imagine rather, that a lot of people who were submitting stories were also talking about how social media might have caused them anxiety, or it might have been a trigger for some people's issues. So I was just wondering, like, what your thoughts were, and like, how do you balance between using social media as your main platform, but then also being on it so much, which can be anxiety inducing at the same time?
Yeah, I got a lot of anxiety from using social media. It's like a seesaw, honestly, because getting a lot of traction from the art page and then starting the NGO online, it was really like the attention, at least for me, was coming really out of nowhere, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know where to place myself. But the community really helped, like at times where I just had imposter syndrome. I had like the weight of the world on me with imposter syndrome. Like, what the heck? I didn't study about the environment. I never went to art school. So what am I doing here? And why do people like me and trust me with these things? So yeah, community, my friends and family who told me like, you don't need to worry about that now because your goal is something good, to reforest, you know, Yangil with the Yangil tribe and Mad Travel. And so, yeah, it was really looking at what I wanted to do and not losing myself with what everyone else thinks I should be.
Yeah. Basically channeling your energy towards where your heart is and not listening to the noise. Because I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah.
And it must be tough, like, blocking out the noise. Yeah, especially that. And I felt like it just like blew up so fast. No, wouldn't you like agree? I remember in 2019 seeing like your art post, and then like a couple of weeks after, like months after, I remember seeing like before it wasn't called FDF, right?
Just Fun the Forest.
It was called Fun the Forest. So like while most of our like contemporaries have like either seen a post, news clip, or even the aid to the typhoon relief, what might they not know about like the behind the scenes work that your organization does?
But for context, Isa is the perfect person to answer this question because she went on a legit journey. How long was that, Isa?
Like combined, maybe 3 or 4 months on ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was super intense. Like, I guess because what we see online on social media, it's really just like the staff picks, you know, like what the best thing to show is.
Yeah.
What I had to like struggle with doing typhoon relief was, at least the last one, I was in Bicol for a few days meeting the typhoon victims of not even Odette, of Typhoon Raleigh and Ulysses. So this was like a documentation trip a year after it happened.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I thought doing typhoon relief for a whole year with FDF and Kids for Kids, that like things would change, like things would get better, like they had time to rehabilitate. But when I got there, it was really like nothing has changed. People are still living in the mud. People still have nothing to eat. And that really took a toll on me. When I got home from that vehicle trip, like, I was constantly throwing up for a month, I think. And all the doctors checking all my symptoms, like, didn't know it was really wrong. And it was only until, like, 2 weeks ago, before New Year's, I, like, sat with myself and then admitted to my friend that I felt guilty to have enough to eat because of, like, what I saw in Bicol. So, yeah, those are, like... That's one example of like behind the scenes stuff that we have to deal with this kind of work.
Oh, my heart really dropped there.
Yeah. How do you, when you have all of these funds to donate and there's so many different priorities and needs to satisfy, how do you balance between like supporting immediate relief operations versus long-term rehabilitation and don't have to rely on like the continuous flow of donations?
Well, it's hard to know where to start when someone loses everything, right? Like no food, water, electricity, or a house.
Yeah.
So for the first few months of typhoon relief, what we do is really try to send out as much food and water as we can. That goes to the water filters too. So there's like an endless supply of drinking water. Mm. And then for medium term, once we feel out from our on-ground teams that, okay, their supply is coming in, they don't have to rely on like the immediate relief we give anymore. That's when we go to medium term things, which are like the solar lights, housing, boat construction, those things, because a lot of coastal communities every typhoon are the ones that get wrecked.
Yeah.
So those are the things we have to look at. Last year, we, with for our farmers, we gave out farmer subsidies because farmers like lost their entire crop fields and everything. So these are the little things that we can do to really help them restart livelihood. But honestly, it's like so systematic. Like our NGOs, our youth organizations, the youth organization Berkada, I don't, we can help, but we need the government to be there to rehabilitate talaga.
Actually, yeah, no, that comes on with my next question. Like, we've seen, like, year after year, typhoon relief operations, and I don't know, maybe it might be climate change, but things seem to be getting worse, and it's always hard to balance short-term with long-term aid when we have the funds in our hands. And yeah, as you mentioned, like, we really need government intervention, but moving forward, assuming that there's no government intervention, like, what can we do to make sure that on our end, like, how can we make our impact more long-term?
Vote for the right people.
I know.
Honestly, like, if that's one, like, theme that's so apparent in all these communities that got devastated, it's that, like, the government could have helped, but they didn't. Basically, so that's why it really sucks. I could go into detail about that, but I think I'd take up an hour. Just vote better.
I know.
It was like one of the questions we wanted to ask, like, towards the end, about more about, like, you know, elections are coming up in 2022, and as you said, like, voting for the right leaders is more important now than ever. Is there anything specific you want to communicate to our listeners? Well, now it's way too late to register to vote, but for those who are voting, and even like maybe about campaigning, like, or different suggestions on how to educate ourselves aside from reading like mainstream news or to get involved even.
There are lists of people who are running in terms of the environment. So what they promise to do when they're in office. So those are the things that we can look out for, like who is actually advocating against climate change. And those are the people I feel like we really, really need right now in a time like this where everything we do is so crucial for the future. We need the kind of leader that will keep their promise to save and protect our environment.
Yes, that was a good answer.
Thank you.
Are there any tips, stories, or like experiences that you've had that you feel, aside from just for those who don't have the capability to donate monetarily, can also contribute?
I think being aware of why it's happening, why things seem like they're getting worse, because anger that is not directed can just stay inside. So when we feel angry about something or sad about something, my solution is really asking myself, what is the source of this emotion? When I was really adamant about making FTF happen, I asked myself, like, why? And it's because I wanted to share how it felt like meeting other kids my age dedicating their lives and careers into preserving our world. And that was the idea I wanted to share, because when I learned about the climate crisis, I just felt so disempowered. Like, what could a little brown Filipino kid do for a world? And that feeling changed, and that's what I wanted to share. So when we get to the sources of what we're feeling, I feel like something good could come out of acknowledging that emotion properly.
I love that.
You're a bunch of soul
I'm like,
I got so inspired.
I'm
quotable
so
quotes again. Same. I'm just like, wow, quotable quotes.
Damn it. Again, damn
it. He's gonna print it and put it on her wall.
Yeah. I'm gonna print whatever you're saying and put it on my wall. And I'm so inspired right now. I'm like,
term
so
master's inspiration.
And honestly, like, even after seeing that you winning, I mean, being a part of, like, the Nat Geo 2021 Young Explorer.
First of all, I still can't believe it, Nat Geo.
Yeah!
Like,
yeah.
That was,
a dream.
So wild, yeah. And, like, this was my second year applying and my last chance to be a Young Explorer because the cutoff is 26 and I'm 25. So when they didn't accept me the first round, my hopes were so low already for this round. But yeah, when I got the email, I was just like, what?
Oh, that's my insane. God.
Dreams come true, guys. Dreams don't give up on the dream. It took me another year to get this.
And for those who don't know what it is, can you give also like a little bit more context?
Okay, so National Geographic Young Explorer cohort. Basically, they help you do a project that you want to do for your community.
Oh, and so they assist you. Okay.
Yeah. So when you get into the Young Explorer cohort, you're officially a National Geographic Explorer, which has been like a dream of mine. Talaga. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And this was the last chance to get it. So I was really so happy when they told me.
So exciting.
Are there a lot of Filipinos that get in?
I got in with Tasha Tanhutka, who's the co-founder of Kids for Kids. So it was really just like dreams come true. I have a classmate, not you.
Yeah, congrats, dude. I feel like the culmination of you as an artist and you channeling your energy towards a call to action for all of your pent-up frustrations with all the inactions going on is just so, it's so effective. I admit that there are difficult realities to face with social media, but when it comes to the way you use it, it just feels so positive. And I'm glad that Gabby brought up that question, because if you're channeling good energy, you also receive quite a lot. So it's like a big balance with you. And those are the challenges of being a content creator. And I'm sure that there are other content creators out there that would love to hear from you and know more about your tips. And I think for me, every time I need help with captions, I literally go to you for FTF to make it more personal and less structured and stiff. So yeah, like how do you, like what are your tips to make your posts or content like more authentic yet relatable? Because I literally always ask you, like, what's going on with this caption? And you just make it great. And a lot
you get pala all our captions from Isa, not yours. We're always such a good caption.
You're so good at making captions. I have the emojis now.
When it's with me, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm not so good with emojis talaga. Like, even with the F, but like, with serious content, you know what I mean? Like, for example, Isa and I worked on Food Not Fear. So when it was a food donation drive, like, I'm so formal, like I sound like it's hard
to find the balance, because even I remember even with us, like we're still trying to find our footing with that, because when you're talking about something so serious or that can be something that can be so sad, there's like a tendency to be so literal about the information you're communicating. But I always felt like FTF, and even with your art, there was such a high level of relatability and shareability that I think is what wanted people, or like empowered people, to not be shy to share it either on their stories or with other friends, no matter how personal the story could be.
Well, that's two sides of the same coin, because I remember writing essays in college and my prof getting mad at me because it was too flowery.
Oh,
like this
the opposite
is the report.
Of me.
Yeah, this is the report. Stop writing poetry. I didn't realize that I was like, I didn't realize I was rhyming things the later on. But a tip really is to try putting dear and then the name of your friend, like dear Carrie. This is what's going on right now, and how would I want you to understand that? And then when you post it, just take out the dear.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of that now.
Wow, mind blown.
Oh, that is so smart.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces, so I write a lot of love letters.
Fellow Pisces. I mean, fellow water sign. Healer emotion.
Before FTF and before Isabar the Art, there was your poetry.
Oh. Yeah.
Isa is a wonderful voice. My love voice.
Dear poet.
I've always been a fan of Isa's voice. So back to pre Instagram days.
Oh my gosh.
When we used to just hang in Raph's house and just cover.
I remember, I know that was also like a tip of someone, or I don't know if it was a professor or someone else before with writing content. It's just like, try to read it out loud as if you were talking to someone. And if it's not something you'd say naturally in conversation, then
that's
like true. I don't use any big words. I think that's one part of the relatability thing. You're right. I wouldn't say like a big word in person. So it's really for a friend.
And you know, it really shocks me that you still have a way to keep it like personal and keep it light, despite everything you've seen, like your posts. I mean, like your art still is so, you know, bright and expressive, and it adjusts with the times. And I guess that comes with a lot of maturity of handling everything that you've seen. And I guess my question is, how do you keep yourself grounded and hopeful with everything going on in your life?
Oh my God, this was a diary entry.
Yes, so, I got it in.
Jan 13. It is hard to lose hope when it is insistent in coming with everyone who knocks on my door. Hope is in everyone I meet. Yeah.
Wow.
This typhoon relief season, so many kids like put up their own fundraisers to help typhoon victims. We were getting donations of even like 1 peso, 2 pesos, 3 pesos. People were really giving anything they could.
Yeah.
And the beneficiaries, like when I visit them, they haven't lost hope either. So like, who am I to lose hope for this world when they haven't?
I'm gonna cry.
Me also. Okay,
I'm already
cry.
Starting
I'm
to
like
tear.
I'm starting
to
tear.
This is our episode, guys.
Because honestly, Isa, like your art is so digestible, and it honestly always makes you feel like hopeful at the end and inspired. And I just love
so
it
so much.
Like honestly, and I love it how it can be it can be sent to anyone like around the world. Like I've sent it to so many of my friends here in the States, and I'm like, oh, look at this quote, look at this person, like look at this art. And like it's so amazing how they're able to like relate to you, even like this like Filipino girl, and like they're all the way from the States, and being able to like understand your art and relate to it is so like, I just love it.
Wow.
I just love like its impact, like even from this far, like some of my friends even know about your account. So like when it comes to your art, like what are some ways to continue to like be inspired? Because like I know like a lot has been happening, and like how do you like continue to be like, inspired to like continue with your art?
Sometimes it's like not inspiration, it's more of like a purge of everything I'm feeling. And maybe that's also what people want to see online, just like vulnerability, you know. I think being vulnerable was one of the best decisions in my life. Like once I emptied myself out, so many things could, so many good things could get in. Yeah, so.
In the start, was that always the plan with when you started to share your art on Instagram? Was that, or was the vulnerability in sharing other people's stories more of something that came later on once it started to, you know, pick up a bigger audience?
Yeah, actually, like I started off as I wanted to draw for 100 days because I gave up art in college to study. And so when I graduated, I tried to pick it up again and just doodle for 100 days.
Wow.
I started off with like 100 followers. And then once I started posting that once a day thing with the line art and the quote, it's just like, yeah, it just like blew up so suddenly. And that's when I started getting the messages of like, this is so helpful, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I can use this to like help people. And so I did that for a while.
How did you decide, or like, how did you come up with the idea of like starting up that Google form to get like stories from people?
People were like, do you know the, I don't know how to say it, the 1 month of art stuff, they give you like a thing to draw and then all these artists like draw their own version of it. So it was meant to be something like that. And like artists from all around the world do it. So I just wanted like my own, like I'll ask the question and then I'll draw your answers. Because I really wanted to be a therapist after college. So I went into master's for psych. And then I went tree planting. So I had to decide like, what did I want, to become a therapist or to do like reforestation? And so I quit master's to start FDF because I was like, this is actually where I want to put my life.
Wow. That sounds like honestly such a big turn.
That's a big
turn. Like right now I'm like doing my master's and just hearing that, I'm just like, wow. So like, honestly, like what made you like choose to start like FDF and like just stop doing like your master's?
Well, I was privileged enough to have that choice.
Yeah.
So that was like the first big thing that I had the choice to choose where I wanted to bring my life, because I still lived with my parents back then.
Yeah.
And I already had like jobs and stuff. So it was hard on my family because they were like, are you serious? You're going to quit to like plant trees? And I was like, hell yes, I'm quitting to plant trees.
It sounds so bad, but look at what happened though.
But I could totally imagine how that, especially like in a society like ours, how that could have been received too.
Definitely. It took my parents like maybe like 11 months to take me seriously. To be like, oh, she's actually gonna stick to this and commit. But now they believe me after 2 years. They're like, oh, okay.
It's more than just planting trees.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure like a lot of people our age now are going through like quarter life crises, and are, you know, at the point where maybe they're thinking about leaving their job or changing even careers, or don't know what they want to do yet. Like, having, as someone who's made such a big choice in their life previously, what helped you in your decision making?
I realized like we only have one life here. How do I want to spend it? And I always move forward with whatever I answer for that question. It made me a lot happier also answering that question and just being honest with myself for it.
Wow. Wait, so did you start, were you in master's when you did Isa Barte art?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And I think that also really helped me ask the questions, because as I was learning how to help people, I had that platform to actually do it in like real life, like asking people these kinds of questions.
I know you wanted to be a therapist, but I think you're still helping a lot of people, and like you're providing a lot of therapy for people right now too. So it's kind of insane.
Different form of therapy.
Different, yeah.
And free.
Exactly.
It's all free.
But I'm curious though, like how, since you started, how has the direction of your art changed, like since FDF, like blew up and everything? Like how do you perceive the way you use your art now and then, like pre-FDF?
I realized, like, as an artist, all I'm really trying to do is tell a story. And so that comes out in any medium that I'm really focused in. So before it was digital art, now it's really photography. I really want to get into writing next. So yeah, it's not just one thing. It's like a bunch of different things that I've been lucky enough to like have the time for, honestly.
Your message today really helped. And I'm particularly noting the, how do you say this? Willingness to be vulnerable online. I think that's something that I have to work on. And if for any listeners out there that want to share more but that don't really know where to start, like I don't know how to be honest with myself on social media anymore, guys. Like if we're being vulnerable, like I used to be super ingay and loud and vocal, and since reality hit and I've been doing more serious things, like for example, like ever since I started working and, you know, doing relief ops, NGO work and sustainability consciousness towards the environment. I feel like I lost my kulit side on social media and that vulnerable side. And like, what tips would you have for me, for other people out there that have the same problem on how to break this fear?
I feel like it's a fear of the cancel culture, no?
Oh, that's so true.
That's so true also.
Yeah.
And I love to hear your input, Isa, about that. Just because I think with all of the projects that you're involved in and like the atmosphere now when it comes to people in more of a public eye, is that something you were scared of as you emerged into having more influence with your work?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I had to be a good girl online so that because I have FDF, you know, which is a good thing, and I shouldn't be the one to corrupt it, basically. So I had all this anxiety of like, oh my gosh, how do I place myself online? How will people see me if I just, like, be myself, you know? Then I realized, like, maybe it's because I didn't like myself, like, in real life, that I'm having all these anxieties. And now it's so much better because I actually like the person I am. And so whatever I post on social media, it's like I like her because I like me in real life. It took away the anxiety, basically, for me at least. That's what really helped. And also realizing I don't owe anyone online, like I don't owe them a picture of an me image. Smiling.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, those things, people followed me because they like the real, vulnerable, relatable thing, right? And this is me just being myself. So what should I be scared of?
That's so true, Ys. I completely relate to that. Like, it's like that fear of breaking the glass of a professional looking initiative or like, I completely feel that. Ever since I started working, I've been more conscious about who I was online. Because in college, I was not reckless, but I was more me online. And ever since I started working, I don't, you know how like people say, I don't want, like my thoughts do not reflect my, like the thoughts of the, what, the company, organization, whatever. So But that thing about liking who you are in real life, I'm going to take note of that. I will take note of that.
Oh my God, Gary, I hope you like who you are in real life because you're amazing.
Oh, I love you. Yeah, I just, I'll
I hope you, I hope you know it. Side. Oh my God.
Thanks, dude. I'll save my funny side na lang outside. So Kristen Stewart naman doesn't have an Instagram. I watched Spencer yesterday and I was just in love with her. That's why.
Oh, you did? I still didn't watch Spencer pa. That's on my list pa.
Spencer's so good. It's good.
Okay.
Very dark though. Very dark.
Is this another vampire movie? Kristen Stewart?
No, it's about Diana. Lady,
Princess Diana. Kristen Stewart is Princess Diana.
Oh my God. That was like...
I was like vampire.
Crossover.
Well,
this was such a good episode. As in, I think I felt a lot of personal development in this episode, personally.
Yeah, same. I felt like I have so many things to think about now. Like, it's morning here, 8:25. I feel like I'm going to get my coffee and then just contemplate and everything you said. Like, great point.
I saw the sunrise before, like, behind you.
Yeah. And it's snowing so much, pa. So I'm going to have such a cozy, like, food for thought each day. Like,
on her visit to North Carolina, sipping coffee.
Grab a notebook. I always do that. Like, I have that notebook time in every trip where I just, like, ignore everyone and just, like, start writing.
That's such a good practice, honestly.
It's from Tumblr. You know those pictures of girls looking out windows writing? I love those pictures. I always wanted to be them. So I was like, okay, why not? Like, I'll be her.
My great grand Lola used to have the same practice. She always carried a physical notebook and pen wherever she went. So whenever she had an idea, to make sure she had, like, somewhere to write it down.
Yes. An idea can change the world. Should write all of them down.
That there's so many quotes. Everything you're saying, like, I can picture it, like, on my wall. On my wall, pa. So for me lang.
I can support the art in the US.
Yeah.
But that being said, and to wrap up our whole episode, as you said, an idea can change the world. We'd love to hear your ideas on how we can change the world. And something we ask every guest of ours, how can we turn this world around?
So I believe in this, like, a net. I'm sure you guys have read this thing in, like, books, but that, like, every dot on that net is, like, connected. And so if we think about that net as our world, as our universe, we are actually part of what changes inside it. So once we change ourselves, the whole net also changes. The whole world can change with just one person. And that's why you don't need to be anyone else to be a person that can change the world.
Wow, that net.
Love that.
Where do you find the net? Story.
It's something I read, like, an article or something that, like, you click on Facebook, and then it's just like, oh, mythology, someone's mythology. I'm like, oh, I love those stories.
It sounds like the writer Rupi Kaur. It sounds like
is that the Milk and Honey?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't read.
Yeah, it's the Milk and Honey. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Ease. Your heart and your mind.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And I can't wait. I can't wait to just pick up all of the great things you said and just turn it into digestible things that everyone will hear about.
Thanks for having me.
No, really thank means you a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it, guys. We're Earth Friends, and the Earth is our friend. Thank you so much for joining us today in this lovely episode with Isa Barte on the art of advocacy.